I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Looks like everyone is here this evening. Next item on our agenda is citizen input. Citizen input is on our agenda for those of you who are out there that would like to talk about something that isn't on the agenda that, however, is the business of the council. Thank you. Council, if we'll notice an agenda memo, we just got a bid in for doing the work on well 4 today, and if council we'd like to amend the agenda and maybe slip it in under the well 6 update, call it 8.5. I'd accept a motion for approval of our amended agenda.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve our amended agenda this evening. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 2, approval of our consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve our consent agenda. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 3. Public hearing on CDBG planning, only grant application for the plan of maintaining adequate capacity, PMAC. Just a moment here and I'll find the...
It's behind this one.
Please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:04 p.m. and is being held to receive a staff report and receive public comment on the CDBG planning only grant application for the plan of maintaining adequate capacity at our wastewater treatment plant. This public hearing is required by state law. I will now ask staff and our city engineers to present a report. Larry, Jay.
Mr. Mayor and Council, it's very nice to see you all again. In March of this year, you may recall, the city received a letter from the State Department of Ecology indicating that the city had a compliance issue at the wastewater treatment plant with a component known as total suspended solids, which is part of the solids of wastewater. A little bit on the strange side that just suspended solids were high, because typically when you have a wastewater stream that's primarily residential or commercial, if the suspended solids is going to be high, what's called the BOD, or the biochemical oxygen demand, is going to be high also. But ecology said that the city needed to look at why the suspended solids, or TSS as it's called, were high. And in the discharge permit that the city has, the way to go about finding out what the problem is and a solution is called a report entitled the Plan for Maintaining Adequate Capacity, or PMAC. The city was given a timeline by Department of Ecology to complete this plan. Because of eligibility of funding, the city can request a grant from the Department of Community Development Block Grant Program, to fund the project. We have prepared an application to cover 100% of the cost, not only of the plan, but of the city's involvement to advertise for consultant selection, go through the process of the paperwork, and any potential audits that the state funding agency may have after the fact. We're estimating that the total cost for the plan, including the city's portion, would be $16,000. We're asking for that from the state agency. One of the requirements of the planning process and the funding application is to have a public hearing, which we're doing this evening. And this is similar to past public hearings that we've had for funding applications from Community Development Block Grant. And there is a handout at the back that we put on each of the council's dais and handouts for the public, as well as a sign-in sheet that we'd request that everyone sign in before the evening's over. And Rebecca is here if interpretation is necessary for Hispanic-speaking folks. We're required to note that the Community Development Block Grant Program has funds set aside for planning-only grants, which we're applying for, in the amount of $400,000. There is no set date to submit your application. It's a first-come, first-serve process, and they're accepting applications through approximately November of this year, when they'll be looking at a new round of funding. And this type of project is 100% eligible. And the handouts themselves discuss the CDBG program, both in English and Spanish, and talks about the different elements that CDBG has, not only planning-only grants, but general-purpose grants, which the city has applied for, imminent threat grants, housing enhancement grants, public services grants, and loan portfolios for CDB-eligible activities related to commercial.
Are you done?
Yes, sir.
I will now ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so that I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone, state your name, address for the record, and you'll have up to 5 minutes. Since there were no public comments, I will close the time for public testimony. Do any council member have comments or questions at this time?
I do.
Mark?
Larry, I'm going to take a big step here. What is the light at the end of the tunnel here? Are we going to have a centrifuge, a water treatment plant, a swamp that it's going to go to? What are we looking at?
This is probably the first step in working with ecology to determine just what that process will be. The city's discharge permit is being renewed as we speak. We should receive a draft copy from ecology sometime this month. I think everyone has discussed this in the past, and the handwriting's probably on the wall, that they're going to look to the city to do some sort of mechanical plant rather than just a lagoon plant. I think we can discuss that with ecology. I don't know. I might give us a 50-50 chance of winning any argument with ecology, because there has to be a logic behind what ecology does, even though in the long run it's tough to fight windmills, if you will. The plan will help guide as far as what problems we're seeing at the plant now. so that when we do get ready to talk to Ecology about design and implementation construction, we'll have this report in hand and can say, here's the documentation where we feel our problems are. And as you can see, we're fine with a lagoon system. Why should we have to go to a mechanical plant? It also will help us start the environmental documentation that's necessary for any funding, both for design and for construction.
How about if we do the prep work, the $16,000 worth, and don't get the grant? Is the city on the hook for that cost then?
It depends upon what we find out in looking into the problem. A plan for maintaining adequate capacity could be as simple as you have an infiltration problem, so you're getting too much biological solids into the system, and Ecology can say, okay, fine, it's a one-page report, you recognize what the problems are, now you have to plan for it, and that could be incorporated into the waste discharge permit, or it could be as elaborate as a pre-design report. If we get the funding, we'll be allow the latitude to look at both sides of it. If the funding doesn't come through, we could take a bare bones approach and maybe for not more than a couple thousand dollars appease Ecology.
Thank you.
Council, any more council questions? We'll now close the hearing at 7:13 p.m.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Item number four, resolution authorizing submission of the Community Development Block Grant Planning Only Grant Application.
I would so move that we submit to submit the for the CBGD planning only grant application.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to authorize submission of a CDBG grant only application. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Item number five, resolution to adopt a grievance policy relevant to the CDBG grant application. Larry? You're going to be up here all night.
That's okay. This is another one of those paperwork items that's necessary to receive money. Whoever said that grant money is free didn't realize all the paperwork that was associated with it. It's identical to the grievance policy that the council passed last fall when we applied for CDBG funds at that time, and it will probably be identical to the policy when the next time we go for CDBG funds. So we would request approval to have the mayor sign the resolution.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt the grievance policy relevant to the Community Development Block Grant application. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you. And if you all would be so kind as to fill in on the sign-in sheet going around, that looks real good to the funding agency because that's in with the application.
Okay.
Thank you.
Item number six, update Planning Commission Training Comprehensive Plan. Daryl?
Mayor, members of the council, thank you. Good evening. For the record, Daryl Piercy, city planner. I want to actually address you regarding three issues, all updates on the activities of the Planning Commission. I feel it's important to keep that good line of communication between Planning Commission activities and the council. First off, the training program that we've undertaken for the Planning Commission is well underway. You may recall in the discussion that I brought to you last month, we talked about the short course in local planning and the fact that it was free and that we were able to utilize that state program to provide additional training opportunities for the Planning Commission members. Well, I believe that the Planning Commission has embraced that training effort. We're currently moving forwards now to chapters 4 and 5 of that program out of 13 chapters. And we'll have the Planning Commission fully through that program by the end of the year. They are actually undertaking homework assignments as part of this process. They're coming prepared to the meetings. They have thoroughly, I believe, as a group, thoroughly read the literature and information and are asking very good questions in regards to their roles, their responsibilities, the history and basis of planning in Washington State. This last meeting, we went through actually the elements of the Growth Management Act. And even though this is not a growth management city or county, there are many aspects of the Growth Management Act that really affect day-to-day planning activities, even when you're not part of that program at the state level. And much of our case law is now based on elements of the Growth Management Act. So it's important to get exposure to that. And the Planning Commission, I thought, did a wonderful job of looking through the material because it's quite lengthy and quite involved, and asked some very good questions in follow-up to their homework assignment. So things are going extremely well. I think the program has re-energized to some degree the Planning Commission. They really, I think, have taken on a more appreciation of their role within the planning process and are getting exposed to some elements of planning that I don't think they've had an opportunity to be exposed to in the past. So I think it's an exciting time for the Planning Commission, and I really believe that they are benefiting from the efforts they're going through and the time that they're spending on this training program. Any questions on what that element or what that training program involves at this point? My intention is to keep you updated on their progress and to let you know how things are going in that regard.
I think it's very important that they understand that what they do is very important and impacts the community dramatically. I think they're learning that now, that they are pretty important to us as a council. You know, we rely on them to set the planning, you know, our planning for our city and the community. So are you getting a pretty good crowd there?
The members of the public are still rather sparse, but we hope to continue to get more. We've been utilizing some press and some getting some stories out in regards to their current efforts, and we also hope to get some press releases out on some of their activities in the very near future. So we're hoping to get more public involvement, particularly over the course of the next several months, and you'll see in the remainder of my report, the activities that they're involved in are going to involve some public hearings and some need for community input. So we'll be looking for increased opportunities for that. Two projects that I'm particularly proud of their efforts at the Planning Commission are the update to the comprehensive plan, which is well underway. They have been working on the land use element of the comprehensive plan, which is one of 6 elements that we anticipate having within the comp plan, but by far the largest and most complex of all of the elements, and the one that has the most opportunity for public debate and discussion and the direction of the city and where that's headed over the course of the next 20 years. So it's a pretty exciting effort on their part, and I think also they recognize the importance of that. And while we originally thought we might be able to accomplish a large element of this by the end of June, they recognize that this is such an important task and it is so big in terms of the issues that they now are looking at the October or fall for their public hearings before they make a recommendation to the council on updating the comprehensive plan. So while it's taking a few months longer than we anticipated initially, I think the product at the end will be a very beneficial product, and they will come forward with a very thoughtful, well-informed recommendation to the council when that time comes this fall. So that work is well underway, and they are moving forward. One that is happening more swiftly and more immediately is the process of undertaking a site plan review element to the zoning code. And as part of that site plan review, the development of some design standards for our commercial districts and residential areas for multifamily housing. This does not affect single family or duplex, but it does affect those multifamily projects, or as we classify them, commercial projects, and some design standards for Main Street and First Street, so that as new business or redevelopment occurs, there is a set of performance guidelines that will be in place that will be reviewed through the site plan review process to provide some compatibility and some relationship from business to business, such as parking and access and a whole host of different elements, including landscaping and building design and color schemes and all of those things that kind of make a community cohesive as you drive down Main Street or First Street. So the Planning Commission has been reviewing design standards from other cities in Eastern Washington, taking a look at what other communities have done. And by next month in July, we hope to hold a public hearing on both the design site plan review process as well as the implementation of some design standards into that process. So I think that's also a pretty exciting task for the Planning Commission, and one that has potentially will have a major impact on how the commercial areas of Othello will look as they continue to develop and evolve over the course of the 20-year planning period that this will cover. So exciting times for the Planning Commission, and they'll be coming forward, and you'll be seeing the fruits of their labor very soon in some of the recommendations coming before the council. Any questions?
Thanks, Darrell.
Comment. Darrell's been the spark that energized the Planning Commission. So it's really a tribute to what he's added to the city.
Yeah, kind of. You know, their meetings can be kind of boring. It sounds like they're kind of getting fun. Item number 7, post office parking revisions.
Good evening.
Originally, we were going to have the post office revisions completed by this time and operating, but we had a request from the postmaster that we hold off until the 29th of this month so he can get things together also. But as the update goes, we are completely finished with everything, except for the fact that there are still bags over these two signs right here that from inside the parking lot state right turn only, outside the parking lot looking in says do not enter. We bagged those. And then the other item is the delineators on this yellow line. The lines are all painted, the driveway's cut in, it's done, except for the interior portion of the post office painting their parking lines in the opposite direction this way. This map is a little bit older than the updated one, but it does still give you the same idea. There is less parking out here and less parking in here due to the fact that the postmaster did request the driveway remain up here closer as opposed to down here. Monday morning, 5 o'clock, the 29th, we will be out putting the delineators down and traffic will be rerouted. And it'll change the direction of flow of the parking within the post office.
He'll have his fences up. Basically, that's
the
what he has to do.
Yes. It can operate as is, but he wants to wait until he can actually get the fences up to do the complete changeover. And so we've agreed to do so.
But what happened behind the scenes on the fence issue was the property owner that the post office leases from had originally, through all of our discussions, agreed to pay for the fencing. Last minute, he backed down. The postmaster then went through the post office in Denver. They have bid the job, and they will have completed the fence through their bidding process by the 29th. That was a holdup.
My only suggestion with this project is when you come out of City Hall heading east and the no left turn sign. I've seen people totally ignore that, or not even ignore it, but not see it. And I might have been one of them. I'm not admitting anything. So, and it had a yellow flag on it and everything, but maybe we need to get outside the box and maybe put, besides the symbol, no right or no left turn or something or something. I don't know, but think about it.
It does say that.
Originally, the sign.
It does say that when you leave our parking lot here.
No, I think it's just a symbol of the arrow pointing left with the circle.
At first we had text, and then maybe we thought that a universal symbol would work better because we watched people drive right past it and make the left turn anyway. So then we put up the symbol, and it's the same thing.
Maybe just put both.
Both, yeah.
Seriously. Yeah, and maybe
put one on one side and one on the other.
Flag sticking out or something, because it's a paradigm. I mean, it's been...
It does have a flag on it.
It did.
It's gone now.
I would say it is. Bet you a Brunsberg it's not up there now. Probably the wind got it, or somebody felt they needed it worse than we did or something.
Okay.
End up in the back of your truck.
No. I think I saw it at a soccer match. The line judge. But yeah, because watch that and see what we can do, because it's a tough one even for me to remember not to go. I can't go left there.
We'll look at it. And just as a reminder, just as a reminder, the delineators that are going to be out here are purely temporary until this fall, until everybody gets used to it, and then we will pull them back out.
I was going to say, couldn't you use those same markers
here
on the street? Yeah, there, until everybody gets used to it.
We could probably do so, but in watching the cars back out here, they probably wouldn't last very long. This does provide for a 12-foot travel lane here, but still, until people get used to it, it's gonna be a little bit. I don't think this will be as much of an issue if we address it in here, out here.
Good. Now, all of us at City Hall had to retrain ourselves to go out the back and turn.
Right.
The-
yeah, I haven't got there yet.
Okay, you just drive out this way.
Right. It's do it a couple times and it kind of becomes habit.
I don't know. I guess you could come out that way and go down to the end of the wide line, do a U-ey, and go back out. I saw a guy do that just right up town the other day, yesterday, this morning. This guy, whoop.
Yeah.
And then I saw this today, too. Did we determine it's illegal to head south, cross that line, and come back in and park?
Here?
No, coming down 5th, heading south. Down, yeah, then they come in and turn into the slant parking across
U-turn?
The yellow line.
Make a U-turn?
No,
you're not
right?
Supposed to cross that line.
Even
that's
to park?
That's the whole idea.
Okay.
Oh, an 18-inch solid yellow line represents in the code book a raised curb barrier.
Ew.
So you're not supposed to cross it. That's the cheapest way to get around actually having to put a curb in.
And curbs in the middle of the street, signs in the middle of the street are an issue in plowing.
Well, we're going to have to give the community some time to adjust, and I would hope that we just hand out warning tickets and, you know, tell them to be cautious, and we're directing traffic now, and, you know, if they become habitual, then you're going to eventually end up giving them tickets. But by fall, hopefully, everybody will be... broke in and used to the new traffic patterns.
Yep. It's the intent.
Item number 8, well number 6 update.
Grant Osborne applied for a CDBG grant for the rehabilitation of well 6. We were actually funded at $310,000 for that project. And right now we're looking at the middle of, well, our next step right now is to submit this rehabilitation plan to the Department of Ecology for approval. And we expect that this is going to happen mid to late July when this goes to Ecology for review. And if Ecology approves our plan, then we could be looking at this fall out to bid and doing the rehabilitation of well 6, as we discussed before, in blocking off that section of the hole that is providing all of the high infiltration of fluorides in there. and by all models, that should bring us back into compliance under the MCL, the maximum contaminant level for fluoride of 4. And so that's where we're at with well 6 at this point in time.
And we received a $310,000 grant to
correct
to do that.
And that's the engineer's estimate to perform the work. As we all know, we have good casing down that hole now. So.
That includes pulling that well back out, right?
That includes all the work that it takes, is pulling it back out, performing the plug, and reinstalling.
Refresh my memory, what do we get out of that well then?
We've seen upwards of about 3,300 gallons a minute out of that well, and we expect this to lose anywhere upwards of 1,000 gallons a minute by model. Only time will tell. Sometimes it's a little less, sometimes it's a little more, depending on what, you know, physically really happens in the hole. So we should hopefully end up with a 2,000 gallon a minute well.
Will you need to downsize that pump?
That's
if that be the case,
part of the could be part of the design, yes.
Maybe something to do with impellers. Mm-hmm. Just have to take a look at it, the pump curve, and see where we're at.
Any further questions on the well 6 update? Item number 8.5, bids for our amendment. Our amended agenda here, bids for well number 4.
On June 8th, we came to council with a bid from Schneider Equipment. I'll just back up a little bit. We asked for 3 estimates, got 1, 2 no responses. We got a bid from Schneider Equipment in the amount of nearly $16,000 to pull well 4 and do an evaluation of what happened. Council approved that, and we went ahead. They pulled it out, looked at what happened, lost the upper bearing in the motor, which in turn caused additional damage to the pump and bowls. And as part of that bid, they were to provide an estimate to rebuild this or fix the problem, whatever it may be, provide the estimate. Schneider went a step further, provided an estimate. Not only did they provide an estimate for the repair and replacement of it, they also provided an estimate for something a little different. Is a new Gould pump as opposed to a Franklin that carries a 2-year warranty on this pump. And in looking at this, the estimate only differed by approximately $2,400 to have this pump with a 2-year warranty. And it's a 100 horsepower submersible pump that will go back down the hole. In talking with Mr. Schneider this afternoon, he also stated that he will honor his workmanship also for that same 2-year period, where in the past it's always been a 1-year warranty as opposed to a 2-year warranty. And that was on his workmanship. Then he called me back and said also, if it happens within that pump warranty period, he will pull it, because the pump manufacturer is only gonna warranty the pump itself and repairs to the pump, not the pulling and putting it back in. But he said he will also pull that pump and go back after the manufacturer for his cost to do so. And so what we're recommending here tonight is that we actually go with that higher cost of $2,400 and put in the new Gould pump with a 2-year warranty, as opposed to fixing the old pump and only have a 1-year warranty.
I so move that we put in a new pump. I think well worth the difference here.
Second that.
It's been moved and seconded that that we have approved amendment in the amount of $31,106.97 to put a new Gould pump, submersible pump, in as presented. Discussion?
I don't know. Are we going too fast on this? I mean, this pump, we had concerns when we put a submersible in there, or it came to pass that, yes, it didn't work. How long did that other pump last?
Before, it was a turbine pump. We switched away from the turbine pump,
right,
and redid it, set down the submersible.
Right.
Correct.
How long did the submersible last?
It lasted 21 months. And in talking with, and it had 14,150 some odd hours on it, which is kind of low hours, still outside of the warranty parameters. And in talking with Mr. Schneider, he says this is the second pump from Franklin that he's had happen. This thing, same thing happened to. And so what he's trying to do, yes, it should last longer, 4 to 5 years. But what he's trying to do is get away from that Franklin pump now that this is the second time it's happened not too far out of warranty, and provide a different manufacturer and a better warranty. But in all the reality,
think about it, turbine pump, it takes almost this much money to pull one and put one back. Mm-hmm. Cost-wise, mm-hmm. They're very expensive. This is relatively cheap in comparison.
Well, I'm not happy about that. It's submersible, lasting only 21 months.
And that's the reason we're actually
feeling any responsibility for it, either the person who put it in or the pump manufacturer.
Well, Jay explained that if we would choose to go back and have this one rebuilt, that he would look for some warranty, but then you're putting a rebuilt.
Right, I agree with that philosophy, just that I don't know if we're pushing them enough to hold them accountable.
Well, there wasn't, we're out of warranty. There wasn't a 24-month warranty on that first one. There was the problem.
Right. And what happened? Nothing to go back on.
Yeah.
You said it was a bearing failure that started it, which in turn
caused additional damage. Correct.
Okay. And you
starts wobbling on top and then kind of wobbling on it.
You know, bearing failures could happen at any time. Especially, you should know, with farm equipment and everything else. And you could have a bearing piece of equipment last just a year. That's quite a bit.
Yeah. It always happens at the most inopportune times, too.
Jay, what you explained was if something happened within 2 years, the city would have zero cost.
Correct. And Mr. Schneider said to me that he would pull it back out within that two-year warranty, which you don't have previously with the Franklin motors, at his cost, and then go after the manufacturer for his costs. Yes. He said that is not a guarantee, but he would do everything he could to try to recoup that from the manufacturer. But the pump itself is guaranteed. And if you look at that, that's your $12,000 of this.
Yeah, there's $16,000 in labor and the rest is correct. Parts.
Be sure to put that in contract that he pulls that too. Tell you that 24 months.
I just don't know if it's not wise to look at some kind of extended warranty. Even my Dodge had a 3-year warranty.
This is actually double the industry standard right now.
That's as much warranty as you can get on a pump like this.
You could possibly buy an additional warranty, but they're not going to offer it for nothing beyond 2 years.
Does our insurance policy cover any of this? Would this be covered under our insurance policy?
We can ask. We did in the past when we had a couple failures 2 years ago and last year. Our insurance company did pay back the city some of those costs. So we can check that. We have not asked yet, but we can.
I will reluctantly vote in favor then.
You'll get, Snyder will put that in writing that he will, if we should have a problem in the next 24 months, that he would pull it at his cost and try to recoup that from the pump manufacturer?
That's what he indicated to me on the phone tonight. I can ask him if he will do so.
Okay.
We'll draft a short memo of understanding and have him sign it.
Yeah.
We'll take care of that on our end rather than get him to do it. Him, Snyder. We'll put it together and Jay will have him mm-hmm. sign it.
Correct.
Do we have a motion to approve the amendment?
I think it was already made.
Okay, this is a discussion.
Yeah. Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item number 9, unfinished business. Thank you. Item number 10, new business.
Shannon, I had, and I talked to Amy, we have our playground equipment here. Do we know when it's going to be put up?
Thanks for calling and asking about that. What Councilmember Broderall is talking about is the playground equipment that the city received on March 2nd. Had in storage at the well tower by the swimming pool at the center. Obviously, some weather on the first part of that precluded the city staff installing it. I do have a date from them that I asked today. July 6th is the date that they're planning to install it. They can would welcome some assistance. You said you talked to the church or something. We can have some assistance, but we have to be there by our insurance standards to be the main installers. The installation directions even say it takes 6 mechanically inclined individuals to install these toilets. So but we'd welcome some help if you could do that, but our guys need to be with them.
So do I have them contact you? Or
Jay.
Okay, great.
Is there like contract or concrete pours or anything needs to be done?
I don't think there's concrete. Do you remember, Jay? Is there any concrete pours?
Is there any concrete work or do you just start with a flat spot out there?
Yeah.
No, actually what happens is they do give us a pattern of holes that have to be dug at X amount of depth and then pads put in, they're set, poured down to a certain level. You first have to excavate out 12 inches or to put back your ground cover that does go in. There will be some concrete in there.
What do you think, if you start on it on the 6th, your completion, you think it's going to take a week, possibly two, like to get it all, to get them all done?
These things are pretty intense, and when they came off the semi, I mean, I'm hoping, yes, but when they came off the semi, they weren't packaged. They were just two
loose,
these complete huge toys in the back of an open semi, and we're still trying to figure out what belongs to what.
Okay.
So I'm hoping by the end.
Well, it kind of looks like if you pick the 6th for a date that we can get a work party together here and
get started.
Help out. Yeah.
Terry Clemens has it scheduled for July 6th.
Okay.
The other thing is our pool slide. Is it not working? There's a.
No, it's working as far as I know.
I got a call tonight, and I know I was there on Saturday, and they had it closed.
I don't know. I have to look into it, Eleanor. It is operational. I've asked several times, and I've been told.
And I went Sunday, and it worked Sunday, mm-hmm. But tonight there's.
I'll ask about Saturday.
Okay.
And it might be, we've discussed this before, just a business decision. Because that takes two people to man that slide, so it's not cheap to run. And if they get one kid an hour going on that slide, from a business point of view, it's better to send those two guards home and close the slide down. And that's just the reality of it, I think.
You're right on the two guards. However, we found out that you can't operate the slide with one guard at the bottom. As long as there's only one child that goes up or one participant that goes up the ladder at a time. It can only be one person. Everybody else has to wait at the bottom. Then you can have one guard at the bottom of the slide.
Because like today was a tough day to man the pool. I thought for sure it would be closed this morning. And then, you know, it got nice this afternoon and we drove by and they kept it open. So
we discussed that 2 years ago about keeping it open. And one of the managers didn't know that last Friday, and they did close it for a while. Jay and I and Amy met this morning at 8:45, and we discussed the pool does not close. The operating hours are the operating hours.
Well, you are very lenient.
Well, no, that came from council.
Oh, well.
2 years ago, you said, keep it open.
Well, that was not necessarily weather-related. Well, yeah, it could. That's a tough call.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a tough call. We had 10 people on guard Saturday, Friday at about $110 an hour. We had two people in the pool at $6 revenue. We had $110 expense and $6 revenue for an hour. And any business person will tell you that doesn't work.
But if slide business is slow. One guard can...
Can do it.
Say you got one kid.
Yeah.
Or two.
But you said...
Say you have two, you could just let them go up one at a time, and one guard could...
Yes.
Okay.
And just to give you, I think we saw the gas bill for the pool today was like $3,000 already. It hasn't been open. You know, that was from the beginning, and to get it up and for the swim team and that. So it's business-wise, it's an interesting model.
needs to get hot, stay hot all summer.
You should see a decrease in the chlorine expenses this year.
Because of the new system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our next meeting, Monday, July 6th, it's a workshop. Not a whole lot on our workshop. I know I'm not going to be here. Usually Mark's not here on the 4th. Are we going to have enough people here for...
I'm going to be here that day.
I'll be here.
Okay. I'm not.
Well,
we'll have a short workshop then on the 6th of July. With that, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.